And staying with the impact of the coronavirus and responses as they manage this virus as it spreads out in all sorts of ways across the country, two schools in New South Wales and Victoria remain closed today as authorities try and contain the spread of COVID-19 virus. Yesterday, the Victorian Premier Dan Andrews warned that an entire shutdown of that state's school system couldn't be ruled out.
We will today release our health sector COVID-19 coronavirus plan. Part of that plan is the inevitability that we will get to the point where, rather than one school being closed, all our schools will be closed.
Victorian Premier Dan Andrews yesterday. In the tertiary sector, the strain of this virus is acute too, with one of the country's oldest universities now forced to dramatically reduce its courses. Dan Tehan is the Federal Education Minister. I spoke with him earlier.
Pleasure to be with you, Fran.
Minister Dan Andrews says a range of extreme measures will be needed, and that's likely to include closing all Victorian schools. No ifs, no buts, you heard there. Is that something under active consideration for the entire country?
Well, there is planning taking place in the education sector to make sure that we are fully prepared. Now, a range of contingencies are being looked at, and obviously all ministers have said that they will follow very closely the medical advice. Now, if the medical advice says we need to take extreme measures, then that is what governments will do. But at the moment, the medical advice is very clear. What is occurring is schools are temporarily shutting down, and that will continue to be the case unless the medical advice says otherwise.
Okay, can I talk to you a bit more about that? Because the Premier said any hope of containing the virus is now gone, and the trigger for shutting the entire school system would be when there is, quote, a significant number of community transmissions. Is that what the medical advice you're getting is, and essentially what would be the trigger for shutting down schools holus bolus in either states or across the nation?
Well, the ultimate trigger would be when the medical experts say that that is the time for that to occur. Now, we haven't reached that time yet, but it does seem very clear now that the idea of containing the virus is getting harder and harder, although we are still using containment circles to try and limit the spread and restrict the spread as much as possible. But we do have to prepare for all contingencies, and that is occurring at both the national level and at the state level.
Would it be up to each individual state to decide whether to close their schools, or will the Commonwealth have a say in that?
Well, at this stage, it's in the jurisdiction of states and territories. We're obviously working very closely with them. There was a meeting of senior officials yesterday to plan for the protocols that would be put in place. Obviously, we want as nationally consistent approach as possible when it comes to school closures, when it comes to what would happen to major events, etc. But some jurisdictional responsibility lies with states and territories, so they ultimately will have the responsibility to make that call.
And what does your sort of contingency planning indicate in terms of, you know, we know that the virus at the moment is occurring in clusters. It would seem at least 17 of the 61 confirmed cases in New South Wales or in Sydney's northwest. Could localised regional school closures be on the cards?
Look, that's possible. I think if there was to be a next step, it would more likely to be localised school closures rather than statewide school closures. But once again, we'll listen to the medical advice and act according to that. But that would be the logical next step, that you would have regional school closures rather than going to statewide closures.
And Minister, do you think we're talking about long-term closures? Because at the moment we're seeing, well, in Sydney, the schools have been closing for a day each while they've been cleaned. Melbourne's Carey Grammar is closed for a week after a teacher was diagnosed. Is there any evidence that closing a school and giving a good clean will stop transmission?
Look, there all the evidence, the medical evidence says that that will help in slowing the spread of the virus, and that's why that action is being taken. And if that medical advice changes, then obviously we would take other courses of action. But at the moment, we're following the best medical advice, and we're very fortunate, Fran, here in Australia, that we have leading medical experts that that we can follow and make sure that we're doing everything we can to contain the virus.
Well, we are indeed lucky to do that, but it does seem as somehow there's sometimes a different information is coming from different quarters, because if the quarantine period for someone who's been in contact with the virus is 2 weeks, what's the point of keeping pupils home at school for a day or 2 days?
Well, what the medical advice has been saying is that the schools need to be thoroughly cleaned, and anyone who's been in close contact, whether it be with a teacher or with a student, should also self-quarantine.
So some of these kids who've been in that teacher's classroom, would they be told to stay home?
Well, at the moment...
For more than a day?
What is occurring is that work is being done to find out who has been in close contact with that teacher. So the advice would be for those students to stay at home. And that is why Carey Grammar will be staying closed longer than some of the other schools, because they want to make sure that all the students and other teachers or school workers who have been in close contact with that teacher, that they have all that available information so they can advise them to self-quarantine.
Obviously, Minister, this is a major disruption you're considering here, and you're looking at contingency planning for when a school closes down, parents have to stay at home or someone has to look after the kids. Some of those parents could be health workers. That's going to create a problem. Some of those parents need the money. That's going to create another problem. Is this interacting with the government stimulus planning to look at what kind of payment options might be there for parents who have to stay home if the school's closed for weeks at a time?
Well, the stimulus plan that the government is working on and will announce shortly is about making sure that we get through this economically, as well as being able to deal with the significant health impacts. So the Treasurer and the Prime Minister will have more to say to that on that in the coming days, and
I don't really interact with your area with this notion, wouldn't it? Because
the idea is that we've got the economic stimulus, which will be announced in the coming days, but there is also the health stimulus, which was announced today, and that's designed to make sure that we're dealing with the health impacts, and that's a significant $1 billion investment, which will be announced today. But that will not be just a set and forget. We will continue to monitor. We will continue to see what impact the virus has and then continue to adjust our settings accordingly.
You're listening to RN Breakfast. Our guest is the Federal Education Minister, Dan Tehan. The university sector, we've talked to you before, it's clearly been hard hit by the coronavirus, one of the first sectors to be so. Now the University of Tasmania says it's reducing courses from more than 500 to just 120 by next year. The Vice-Chancellor is blaming the COVID-19 virus and a, quote, over-reliance on China. What more proof do we need that the sector's heavy financial dependence on China is too risky?
Well, what we need to ensure also is that our universities are focused on Australian students and delivering for Australian students. And what the University of Tasmania has done, I think, is take a very sensible approach to the conditions they're facing now with obviously the reduction in Chinese students, and decided to refocus their courses so that they will help Tasmanian students be able to benefit from a higher education. And I think what the Vice-Chancellor has announced looks very sensible and will put the university on a sustainable footing into the future. I should also note that they also have said that they remain in a good financial position with a solid net asset base. So I think the university is in a good place, but I'm also pleased that they are going to start focusing their attention on delivering not only for international students, which is important, but more importantly for Tasmanian students.
Minister, an estimated 65,000 foreign students are still stuck outside the country, international students. That equals about $1.2 billion in uni fees that could be forgone. And an important deadline approaches the cutoff for students to withdraw from their courses without losing money. For Sydney Uni, for instance, that date is the 31st of March. Have you got any insight into how many students will decide to abandon their courses altogether and how much that's likely to be a hit to the university budgets?
Well, we've been doing modelling on the economic impact of the coronavirus, and that modelling will inform what we will announce in the stimulus package. I continue to work with the university sector to get an understanding of what the impact of the virus is on their bottom line. I'll be meeting again with Universities Australia next week and the board of Universities Australia to go through this. But one of the fortunate things about the sector is that they do have a sound financial footing. $1.8 billion was the collective surplus across the sector in 2018. They've got very good boards. The investments that they've made into their future have been very sound. And my view is they remain in a very good position to be able to deal with the virus.
There's a two-week isolation period for this virus. Students have to be in the country by the 16th of March to start their uni courses. That's just 5 days away. Will that influence the government's thinking when it tomorrow meets again to decide whether to extend that travel ban from China?
Obviously, there are a lot of things which the government takes into consideration when it considers travel bans, but the primary one is the health safety of all Australians, and that will continue to be our focus. We've always put Australia's citizens first, and that's what we will continue to do.
Dan Tehan, thank you very much for joining us on Breakfast.
Pleasure, Fran.
Federal Education Minister Dan Tehan, you're listening to RN Breakfast. It's 5 minutes to 8.